fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand. Men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win the Green Beret.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. J.R. Moore here, our third hour. This is the Tuesday Morning Roundtable on Tuesday, the 24th of May. The prepper tip today is to inventory, clean, lubricate, and sharpen all of your tools. We have with us Leon Green, former U.S. Navy officer. We have Jeff Nyquist. His website's jrnyquist.blog. His book's for sale at amazon.com. Looks like, gentlemen, our next caller is Ron in Texas. Good morning, Ron.
Good morning. Hello.
Go ahead, Ron. You're on
the
air.
Okay. John, I'm pretty suspicious kind of a person, and I'm thinking that with all these container ships off the West Coast, that we might have a Trojan horse sitting right there with a great deal of hardware already pre-positioned. And who has checked it, and who is sure that it's all going to Harbor Freight? And I would listen to your response.
Well, before Jeff responds, I don't believe there's any checking done until they get the port myself. But, Jeff, you have any response to Ron's comment there?
Well, I remember it was like 22, 23 years ago they caught the Chinese smuggling into Oakland some enormous number of AK-47s. I think it was in excess of 100,000 rifles. And they've caught them more recently smuggling in parts of weapons to make them make AK-47s fully automatic here in 2020. So I think the Chinese have also been moving a lot of things into Mexico through Ensenada. There was Scott Gilbranson wrote the book The Silent Invasion, I think 20 years ago now. He did investigations in Mexico about how they were using the port of Ensenada to move weapons into Mexico. And then he believed they were moving the weapons across the southern border into secret depots in the United States. So that imagine if this has been going on for 20 years. He also had in Texas a People's Liberation Army general who was a billionaire who bought a wind farm who was constructing a 10,000-foot runway in Texas, which would be an airhead for invading the state of Texas by air. The state of Texas forced him to sell it. Thank goodness, because somebody there caught wind of it and went before the Texas legislature. But this is what the Chinese will try to do. they will try to open windows to invade the country, and if we're not vigilant, they will actually use them. You know, there's no doubt in my mind. You look at all the things they're doing in controlling ports and like the 10,000-foot airstrip, the statements of defectors, this conference here. I mean, to give you an idea of 64 ro-ro ships, the 10,000, I mean, that can carry more than 20 mechanized divisions. That's just one. I mean, if you look at the invasion of Taiwan, if you know how war works, they couldn't use 20 mechanized divisions in Taiwan. The island's got too much mountain and too much urban area to use that many. I mean, and that's not even all the ships that they've got, you know, 900 and something ships and so on. And that's just one province. No, this is for a larger war. Of course, it's going to take this is months long in preparation. This is going to, the war would unfold slowly, but yes, they want to get it some kind of toehold here. No doubt about it. And they've got a Trojan horse, just like you say.
Well, that was my comment. My thinking is because all those ships are there and there seems to be no effort to unload them. So my question would be, what's on them? And if there's no way that we're actually checking them until they are on land, we, it would seem, have a great problem sitting right there already ready to go.
Yeah, it'd be bad if, you know, the German invasion of Norway, they sent merchant ships loaded with troops rather than merchandise. And if in this case you had a ship in every port, and you know, these ships can have 20,000 ton carrying capacity. You have one ship could carry an entire, you know, basically an entire, you know, brigade or division of troops that could offload in the middle of the night, you know, could break out of their containment, grab the port, and then they'd be offloading other ships. You know, this could happen in several ports at once. You have an invasion. The Germans did that to Norway. They simultaneously invaded up and down the Norwegian coast, you know, Narvik, Bergen. You know, they had to force their way up Oslo Fjord, but they took all the significant ports by using these methods, and they grabbed airfields, and they flew men in as well. So with modern air transport and the fact that planes can fly across the ocean, the fact that, you know, these ships are going back and forth from China to the U.S., then all the parts in between could be, you know, you could take islands and set up basing as you go. This could be a very serious thing if it's assisted by missile strikes that assure the invasion has a chance. And they would have to destroy our Navy, of course. Pearl Harbor with nuclear, you know, they've got the hypersonic missiles. That's what they'd have to do.
And in this instance, how prepared are we in the Pacific to actually handle this should it unfold?
That's a good question. You know, certainly we've been drawn to Ukraine.
Right.
The Harry Truman is out there with the Charles de Gaulle and the Med. We've got all these. Now, we are sending, two aircraft carriers to Japan. I think, the Lincoln is arriving at Japan now and the Ronald Reagan's on its way. So, I mean, we have our fleets, but, you know, the thing I think that Americans, I heard Henry Kissinger making a statement. It was interesting. He said it like three times in this interview. He's in his 90s. And he said, well, you know, nobody's thought about what happens if deterrence fails and they just use nuclear weapons anyway. And nobody's thought about this. Well, I look, Mr. Kissinger, Dr. Kissinger, the Russians and Chinese have thought about it, and they've thought about it very deeply for the last 60 years. And I think they know that they can do it because we have this embedded idea that, oh, you can't use a nuclear weapon, it'll put an end to the environment. It's not true. They're clean nuclear technology, fusion, right? A hydrogen bomb is a fusion bomb. It's clean. The people understand that they could launch these kind of attacks. It wouldn't destroy the environment. It wouldn't kill everybody, but it would destroy the military targets. And that's what they need. And you talk about surprise attack. How much warning do you have from a missile now? If it's coming out of the sea from a submarine, what do you got? 60-second response time? Yeah.
Well, I appreciate this. I just wanted to get that idea out, hoping that someone would begin to turn their eyes upon this floating hardware storage right on our coast. So,
it's a good point. Yeah.
I mean, if I was doing this deal, I would use subtlety, and part of it would be merchandise and part of it would be hardware, and not readily, visible, but certainly there. And now it would be no problem once you have the people to acquire the hardware that's already right there.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. No, the possibilities are frightening. And if we're vigilant and we're talking about it, it's going to be less likely to happen if our government starts saying, well, we better start looking into this. You know, I think it's something that we need to talk up.
It seems that our Pentagon and our other leaders are simply blissfully ignorant of the obvious so much of the time. How are we going to ever know that they are paying attention to any of these things today?
Yeah, the big problem is that our government leaders are elected in elections where money from businesses are used, and a lot of businesses have been involved with China. And so the Chinese say, well, we want friendly people to do business with you. You put your money behind these congressmen, we won't do business with you. You know, you need to elect China-friendly people. And, you know, Joe Biden's very China-friendly. When he ran for president, he said, oh, the Chinese communists are great people, right? So we have a problem in that a lot of people in our country have been corrupted by Chinese money, by the fact that they could make money from the cheap Chinese labor. And this has corrupted us. And they know full well in China that this is a strategy. They thought up this strategy a long time ago. And that is a problem we have. Yeah.
It's just a willful blind eye because of the corruption and the payments that they've received. And we're in a very, very tough position from the standpoint that we cannot get anything accomplished through our representatives because they're bought.
That is a problem, and so we have to talk about the China threat realistically to get people to realize that taking the Chinese money is dangerous, and it is ultimately it's going to be treason to do this.
By
the way, these Chinese people that I'm talking to, this lady, she has been so smeared, and the reason she's been smeared in the media is because the Chinese have threatened people. You have nothing to do with her. You don't be seen with her. You attack her. Otherwise, we're pulling our money. And then there it is. So this is how we've compromised ourselves. It's very serious when a person can't even warn Americans without being cut off at the knees.
And when is this treasonous action going to be dealt with? Never.
Well, hopefully we're going to get it straightened out before it's too late.
Well, that would be my hope, that we would get it straightened out, but using the past few years as a roadmap, I see that these people have cleanly gotten away with being paid off and turning a willful blind eye to the actions of the Chinese and anyone else who will pay them.
Yes. Yeah, I'm afraid you're right.
Gentlemen, thank you.
Okay. Good call, Ron. We appreciate the call.
Right.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Our next caller is Glenn in Pennsylvania. Good morning, Glenn.
Good morning, John. Good morning, Jeff and Liam. I thought the Costco thing seemed kind of funny. Expecting anyone who works on as a floor worker at Costco to know about an acronym for the company name. But anyway, okay. Now everywhere I go now, I'm hearing lots of scuttlebutt and hoopla and fear porn about COVID. It seems like the COVID is making a bit of a resurgence. I'm hearing everywhere I go. I've been back and forth between Texas and Pennsylvania the past few months, and I've been hearing, you know, of cases of COVID popping up. And then we have the fear porn about the potential monkeypox thing. So, I'm wondering what's going to happen if we're going to be treated to more lockdowns or remaskings, if we're going to see more and more of a scare about COVID. And then about the COVID in China and these lockdowns. You have these two countries that are both being, you know, wrestling with this disease process problem, and yet all this potential of war. But Jeff, what's your take on what's going on with these lockdowns in China that are supposedly about COVID? I mean, it seems like that's going, if this country's preparing for a great war, isn't this lockdown thing just, you know, tremendously weakening their economy and their ability to do things and produce things and ship things and move things?
No, well, if you read the minutes of the Chinese Party Standing Committee, no, they compliment themselves that the lockdowns have helped them control the population during the process of the transition from normal to war. It has nothing to do with COVID. This is what the Chinese dissidents are saying. This is about transitioning China to war. They're changing the factories from building the stuff for Walmart. Here, look, Walmart's going to be closing offices in the Southeast. I heard David Dubine was telling me that the other day. They're not going to be making stuff for us anymore. You know, they discussed that in there. They know that when the war starts, there's going to be no trade. In fact, China's also taken steps to confiscate all foreign property in China. So they're going to nationalize, and they're going to nationalize all the foreign assets in China. That's coming. And they've taken steps since last year. They just took another step recently to make it legal to take these steps. So they're basically preparing to cut themselves off, because when you go to war, there is no trade. And they don't care about making consumer goods for us. They're going to make war materials for themselves. And on a scale we can't imagine. The Chinese industrial base is huge. And their workforce is the biggest, you know, industrial workforce in the world. They can produce the equivalent of the French Navy in warships every year.
So that makes sense. I get that. Okay, I understand that.
Right.
So I'm expecting that all this stuff, these variables put together, should be reaching some sort of critical mass point sometime in the coming months, and we should see a precipitous downturn in the U.S. economy, gas prices going through the roof.
Well, we're seeing prices. That now, yeah. That's all happening.
Yeah,
the supply chain, by cutting us off of certain things, they're hurting our economy, they're hurting our supply chain. And, of course, they have to control their population, because guess what? They're going to tell their people, oh, guess what? We can't pay you your old salary. You're going to have a ration ticket now. Now you got to go to work for the war, because now we have to survive. We're in a war with America now. That's what they're starting to tell people over there. They're shifting to a war economy. And here people in this country have no clue, except we know there's a problem with food. We know with fertilizer and fuel. This is all being coordinated between Russia, China, and their allies. This is a coordinated economic war preliminary to a shooting war.
Right. And our own enemies within, our sanctions against Russia are blessing them and cursing us. You know, so I hear stories about that we're getting gas pumps ready for another digit so that we have $10 gas and all that sort of
right.
thing.
Yeah, because Russia is a major oil producer, and so is their ally Venezuela, and so is their ally Iran, and their Houthi missiles are knocking out Aramco facilities in Saudi Arabia, so the Saudis can't meet their contracts. So see, their pressure on our oil sources. They're strangling Japan and Europe, and we're being affected too, although we have a lot more domestic resources in Europe. Japan has nothing. You know, those they want those other countries to fold. They just want them to surrender. And, of course, they can. If they cut off the oil, the energy resources to Germany and Japan, those countries will surrender. They'll just give up. They don't have, they won't have a choice.
Right. And it's, so I guess from what you're saying, it sounds to me like between now and, say, Christmas or throughout the summer, we're really going to see an acceleration, you know, in terms of a precipitous downturn and all these things.
Gentlemen, we're on a break. We're on a break. Yeah, we need to stop right now. Thank you.
Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
So let's fix bayonets. We'll have the advantage of moving down the hill. They gotta be tired, the Rebs. They gotta be close to the end if we are. So fix bayonets. Ellis, wait, Ellis, you take the left wing, I'll take the right. I want a right wheel forward of the whole regiment.
What, you mean charge?
Yes, but here's what we do. We're going to charge swinging down the hill. Just like we pulled back to this left side of the regiment, now we're going to swing it down. We swing like a door. We're gonna sweep them down the hill just as they come up. Understand? Does everybody understand?
Yes, sir.
All right, we're back. This hour is sponsored by EMP Shield. The same way the Department of Defense takes care of their vehicles, you can also for you, your spouse, that child off to college. Nice $50 discount on each piece of equipment at thelibertyman.com. We have Leon Green with us, former U.S. Navy officer. Jeff Nyquist, his website's jrnyquist.blog. His book's for sale at amazon.com. And Glenn, are you still with us?
Yes, sir. I could float a quick curveball to Jeff on this one. Jeff, you're probably aware, and so I understand the analysis that we're doing and you're doing for the most part. It's secular in nature, but I just want to point out, like, as all this stuff transpires, there are tens of millions of Christians who have, you know, a timeline, that is according to the Bible. That they're looking at, they're expecting things. For example, they're expecting Damascus, Syria, to be destroyed according to Isaiah 17. They're watching for this Gog Magog battle of Russia and Turkey and Libya and Ethiopia and Syria and the North African Shiite nations coming against Israel at some point. And many are expecting America. You mentioned the Houthi attacks on Saudi Arabia. in this scenario, you have other nations objecting to this attack that comes against Israel, but not intervening. So I'm just wondering if you're familiar with that. I mean, this would be according to like the dispensational timeline that pre-trib rapture Christians follow. I'm assuming you're aware of it, but that it's a like sort of separate thing and isn't directly applicable to the secular analysis of these things.
Oh gosh, look, it was 50 years ago. I read The Late Great Planet Earth. It was a big thing in my Sunday school class. I think I was 14 years old. And I remember now, that was in addition then. Now, I remember this very clearly, and I got scolded for this at WorldNet Daily because Joe Farah said I was wrong about this. But I remember very clearly in the version I read that he suggested at the end of his book that if he was right, that the seven-year tribulation period would start by 1987. You know, the 40, a biblical generation is 40 years, right? The parable of the olive tree. So that, the founding of the nation of Israel, what, in 1947? So, or no, 1948. I'm getting mixed up here now.
Excellent.
But he had that date, right? And of course, that's long come and gone. Nothing happened. So the analysis, the analysis was wrong. I remember I was very curious at the time. My grandfather was an evangelical pastor, and I remember asking him about it. I was a teenager, and he talked about when he was my age in World War One in 1914, his grandfather and his uncles and stuff would sit around the kitchen table talking about how the Kaiser was the Antichrist, and they had everything perfectly lined up then. They had all the scriptures figured out. How it was going to work out. And of course, you had Allenby's army invading the Middle East then. You had all kinds of things they saw as signs, and they read it. They found different scriptures to prove what they were saying.
And
my grandfather said, my grandfather told me, he said, I learned a really good lesson about all that. He said, the lesson was that the Bible is very metaphorical and unclear in its descriptions of things at the beginning of the world and the end of the world, in Genesis and Revelation. It's just very clear about how you're supposed to live, how you are supposed to relate to people and in love and so on, and what Christ wants from you. But it's that, all that stuff, that's, you're not going to be able to figure that out.
Right. Well, it gets to the point where, like, I understand why some people kind of say, don't want to mess with eschatology at all because of all this, because of the money and the waters and the confusion. We have Damascus being, if not the world's, longest continually inhabited city. However, if I got to admit, it'll pique my curiosity. It'll definitely prick my ears up a bit if we see some sort of massive destruction come to Damascus, because that's sort of...
Well, I think they've had a civil war, so there has been massive destruction. But I got interested in... I love Roman history and ancient history, and I've read, Josephus and so on. And what you discover when you get curious about it in a biblical prophecy, and I took a class at my church on Revelation, is they know a lot now more about that period of history. And so they know that, my take is a lot of these latter-day interpreters, they don't really know the ancient languages and they don't really know enough about ancient history. So they actually known meanings for some of these things that they are just ignorant of. And so it's not really very good what they're doing.
Right. Gotcha.
All right.
Great, thank you, sir. Glenn, thank you for the call. We got callers on hold. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
homeowners. Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of happy packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
All right, back, ladies and gentlemen. My website is thelibertyman.com. Quite a few interesting, beautiful pieces of real estate for sale in my neighborhood here in South Central Missouri. You may want to check those out if you want to relocate. And, of course, I do private consultations. I'm doing a couple of them today, as a matter of fact, helping people get the clarity, the focus, the laser focus that they need to make major decisions. The details at my website at thelibertyman.com. Visiting with Leon Green, former U.S. Navy officer, Jeff Nyquist. His website is jrnyquist.blog. His book's for sale at amazon.com. We have three callers on hold here, gentlemen. First, we go to Kyle in Montana. Good morning, Kyle.
Yeah, I'll make this pretty quick. So, Jeff, you know, Klaus Schwab and a bunch of those guys, you know, have made statements in the World Economic Forum and all of those guys saying, you know, you will basically own nothing and be happy, and how their digital control of this country is moving forward to where they want to eliminate the dollar and, you know, make everything underneath their absolute control on one hand. And on the other hand, it seems to me that if we're dealing with war, I mean, world war, that is dealing with Russia, China, the United States, and all of its allies and all of those kind of things, that's that all of the Klaus Schwab stuff becomes a moot point. because we won't be around to be herded and governed like a bunch of sheep. So I'm wondering how you see both of those two things, or do you see the either one of those two things meshing together?
Well, you said something about Klaus Schwab ruling. You made it sound like he and the World Economic Forum are going to rule the world. I don't know where you get this idea. He's just a professor. He's just an academic. Well, he's not ruling. He doesn't have. He's not a government official. He doesn't control nuclear weapons or armies. To rule the world, you know, you basically need a lot of weapons. He's an agent of influence. An economic saboteur. You know, if you see him there interviewed, he's got a bust of Lenin in his library behind him. You know, there's these people are everywhere. Some of them get more or less influence. They put really stupid ideas into people's heads, like, oh, we got to fight global warming, or we've got to have these certain trade things, or we've got to have everybody because we're going into scarcity, so everybody's got to live with nothing and be happy. You know, these are old themes that have been around. The communists and the left and subversive people have been promoting those things, you know, since the 60s. This is nothing new. The fact that he's popular, look, these people are always getting a lot of attention. They got a lot of attention back in when you heard about the population bomb back in the 70s. There is no global warming. There's no nuclear winter. You know, they just had the coldest temperatures ever recorded in Antarctica here in last month. But it's just like the ozone holes. They got us to change all the air conditioners in the country and all the cars at a huge expense. See? So we have these huge expenses. We can't build the weapons. We can't keep up with them. So they have hypersonic missiles before we do. They have a new nuclear warheads before we do. They have new, you know, this and that before we do. So it's ultimately all about war. Everything, even everything from radical feminism of the Marxist feminists and the promotion of the homosexual agenda, it's all for weakening us so that we don't have strong men or strong families, or people aren't having children, so there's no future soldiers for a future war. They everything to weaken us economically, to weaken the family, to weaken our military, and all of these things are interrelated. They're all attacks on our society to weaken it so they can just poop, you know, knock it right over. Look at how completely deluded people are now. They have no idea who their enemy is even. If you told them that communism, there's a communist bloc, that China is a communist country, they blink at you and go, China's not a communist country, they're capitalist. What are you talking about? You know? And it's like, oh my. So you don't, and they don't realize that Black Lives Matter is run by Marxists, Chinese-trained Marxists, or that Antifa is a communist organization. They, you know, the Summer of Rage is going to be just another bunch of communist riots burning down. They'd burn down every city in the country if they could. They'd derail every train going by. They'd blow up, you know. I mean, the communists, they just hate America. They hate Western civilization. Let's bring it down. And there's lots of people, scientists, government officials. They hate America, too, because they went to school and learned. You know, when I was in graduate school, most of the graduate students, and these are the intellectual elite, they were Marxists. Did you know that? That was more than 30 years ago. What do you think? Who do you think's been taking over the country all this time? They're not going to tell you. They're not going to walk around with a red star tattooed to their forehead. But I knew them. I knew them personally. It was in all of our universities. This is the new ideology. This is the coming order. You know, but I try to tell people, and it's like, oh, Nyquist, you're a conspiracy theorist. It's the Jews, or it's the bankers, or it's the communists. Sorry.
So, Jeff, let me ask you a question then. So all of this talk of all of these world leaders that are part of this World Economic Forum, and all of the talk about a digital dollar and digital currencies and all of those things, if there is a world war, aren't those things just mostly distractions then? Or are there plans to somehow intermesh both of those?
Look, if I have successfully bankrupted the West and diluted the West and gotten the West to adopt cap and trade and do this and that, and the Western economy starts to collapse, okay, and I'm Russia and China and my economies are starting to collapse because I actually don't realize how dependent I am on them, I go, well, I've been building up all this time for war. I guess it's time to go. Colonel Stanislav Lunev, the defector, was telling me about their plans to invade America and how they would divide America between Russia and China. And he talked about the plans that they were making in the early 90s for this. And I said, well, when do they carry this out? And he goes, when they can't get any more money out of you. When Russia and China and their allies have gotten the most they can get out of you, when they've sucked you dry, then they're going to come for you.
Interesting. All right. Well, I'll let the other callers get on. Thanks, guys.
Okay, Carl. Thank you for the call. Well said, Jeff. Well said. Our next caller is Fred in Iowa. Good morning, Fred.
Yeah. Can you hear me okay?
Go ahead, Fred. We hear you fine.
Condemnation without investigation is the height of ignorance. Now, I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm going to make a statement. And I'll give you three reasons for my thinking. And I may be incorrect. I think that China invading us is utterly ridiculous. Why would they take the chance of a nuclear war when they can do it economically? Now, when they stop exporting from China to Walmart, what's going to happen? Walmart prices are going to skyrocket, and that's going to make it harder on the people. And the United States, the second beast, will have to raise taxes, and they'll have to print more currency. Inflation will continue to snowball. Now, if we don't breed more children, the women, you know, men and women don't breed more children for gunfodder to go over and kill women and children and countries. And what our government accuses all the other governments, they do themselves. Now, I may be wrong. I may be incorrect. But right now, I think it's ridiculous. And if it isn't, well, buddy, I'd say, Harry, you better get your real estate sold because, not much time left. Anyhow, okay. That's all I got to say, unless you want to make a comment.
Okay, Fred. Your comment has been said, and I don't have a response myself. Jeff, do you have a response to Fred?
Well, yeah, of course it is ridiculous. But look, Hitler was pretty ridiculous, and Genghis Khan was pretty ridiculous. People do these ridiculous things in history over and over again. The communists.
Yeah, and Roosevelt knew about the attack on Pearl Harbor 2 hours. Because 60 years ago, or see, 65 years ago, or 67 years ago, when I was going through electronics school, that all they'd say when we were going through school, that radar picked him up over 2 hours before the Japanese fleet airplanes got to Pearl Harbor. Yeah, we can sure depend on that. Okay. I hope I'm wrong. I'll tell you that. And I'll admit it if I am. But I probably won't have to admit it because my rear end will be blasted to pieces. But If I'm still around, I'll say, well, I made a big mistake. I'm wrong. Well, I won't take any more time.
Okay, Fred.
Thank you, and have a good day, I hope.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You for your call, Fred. Okay. All right, let's move on here, gentlemen. Let's go to Dave in New York. Morning, Dave.
Good morning, folks. Jeff, your discussion today gives a whole new meaning to watch the water. I never saw any relevance of, hardly any relevance of the Venom thing, but now we have to watch the land, air, and water. And these folks are already here. There's so many Chinese have already come for various reasons. A lot of it was educational. There was an interesting article that came out on the Liberty Beacon, and it's regarding the seventh day of some grand jury hearings, I guess, with Reiner Fulmich, psychology and propaganda, and new information on Wuhan. I will first say they do quote this 99.97 or 997 recovery rate from COVID, which to me is scientifically is a very flawed number. I mean, your numerator and denominator are both unknown, and so you come up, and the standards being used are different. Cases redefined, treatments are not given, treatments that cause death. So that whole number, it's perplexing to me how these experts and even John Ioannidis comes up with these sort of numbers and doesn't point out that the standards are totally different, that so there is no proper comparison to other diseases. But the important thing about this article, and it brings out some very interesting things. One was regarding the disease prevalence in Wuhan, some new information. I'm not sure the validity, but they talk about total isolation being important to induce the mass psychosis and social atomization. Jeff, how considering this sort of invasion that you're speaking about and we're observing developing, how would you think that mass formation and the whole COVID scheme will play into this, and will the population be marked? I think that in Iran, they were saying that they were going to do this. I've heard this news very recently.
That Iran was going to do what?
They were going to mark the population to buy or sell. Now, I can't give you the source offhand. I heard it either on Rob Ravolt's show or yesterday, I forget. Maybe it was on Steve Elkin's show last night.
I mean, Iran is a totalitarian country. That's not, why would we be surprised?
But I'm asking about here in the U.S., how is all of this, how could this all play out together? I mean, I don't see this as a Chinese invasion. I see this as a New World Order orchestrated event, perhaps, that involves China to destroy any resistance to the New World Order here in the U.S. But
China,
what are your comments?
China and Russia have an agreement of how they're going to divide the spoils.
Yes, I understand.
That is what defective testimony says.
Right.
Look, the person that I find interesting about the virus is Bhakti, the American-born Thai who is out of Mainz, Germany. And he made a fascinating statement about the virus. He said this was made in a lab, and it was made to kill lots of people, but the human immune system is a marvel, and the human immune system defeated this bioweapon. This is what he has said.
You're talking about Sukrit Bhakti?
And what's that?
Is that Sukrit Bhakti you're speaking about?
Yeah, that's the scientist.
That's
in
his
Germany.
Name. Yes.
Yeah. I read his book, and he was the first one to express alarm about the vaccination path. Before they had the vaccines out, he said you must not vaccinate because these vaccines will not be tested. And he has basically said that these vaccines are just a massively irresponsible disaster. That they've harmed untold tens or hundreds of millions of people, actually. So, and he's explained it very well. I think what you have in our society is you have a degeneration. Look, we believe everything upside down now. Everything is backwards. We believe that we believe in inequality between people, and there should be enforced equality. That's absurd. We basically are instituting socialism.
Well, degrading inequalities. Yeah.
Inequality is natural. And I'm sorry, natural in nature. Yeah. Look, I'm not equal to. Yeah. Look, I can't play basketball the way these basketball pros
do.
I'll
summarize right afterwards.
You know,
the break here, if I can.
You know. Yeah, I mean, so. And
hold on, Jeff. Yeah. Got a break for you. Sure.
You know that nothing beats a storable food stockpile for readiness, but there are two problems with storable food. It's expensive, and eventually, it runs out. Then what? What happens to you or your family when there's not enough food to go around? In a true survival scenario, you need a renewable food source. That's why Seed Armory has developed a survival-grade seed vault that can produce over $25,000 worth of crops from just one kit. Unlike other seed vaults, we don't inflate our seed counts with fillers. All our seeds are 100% heirloom and non-GMO. Not a green thumb? Don't worry. We've written an easy-to-follow guide to guarantee your success from planting to harvest. For a limited time, we're offering an additional 10% off your order when you enter the code RBN at checkout. Go to seedarmory.com. That's seedarmory.com. Don't wait. Like everything else, seeds are in short supply.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's one, RAD. Consistent results when used for heart problems. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious that if he hadn't made it to the hospital in time, he would have died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives, he tried Extendivite. While taking Extendivite, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our 5th bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
But I'd like to ask each of you what it is you value so highly that you are willing to fight and possibly die for. We will call that Texas.
The Mexican army hopes to lure us into attempting escape.
Almost anything seems better than remaining in this place, penned up. If, however, we force the enemy to attack, I believe every one of you will prove himself worth 10 in return. We will not only show the world what patriots are made of, but
but we will also deal a crippling blow to the Army of Santa Ana.
If anyone wishes to depart under the white flag of surrender, you may do so now. You have that right.
But if you wish to stay here with me in the Alamo, we will sell our lives dearly.
All right, we're back. Dave, we thank you for your call. Jeff, let's wrap up your comments for Dave, and we'll do our summary, sir.
You want me to do my summary?
Well, if you have any further response to Dave first, and then we'll go ahead and wrap and do your summary. Yes, sir.
For Dave. Dave thinks that China and Russia are not real powers, that they're the puppets of people who run banks. And I just go look at your local banker and say, is he going to control these gangsters in Russia and China? I don't think so. And that's what people don't understand. However bad you think somebody who wears a suit is, a guy that runs countries that has nuclear weapons and massive, you know, thousands and tens of thousands of spies around the world, has bribed major corporations, who's got Bill Gates in his pocket, who's paying people off, who's infiltrated our universities and our scientific establishment, and is pointing nuclear weapons at us. I think that you have to integrate that differently in your thinking. I know it seems like I'm saying that what he thinks is irrelevant. It's not quite that. It's that he's really kind of missed the elephant in the room, so to speak.
Okay. Well, go ahead and proceed with your summary, please, sir.
Yeah. Well, just to summarize, we're looking into this 56-minute recording from China to try to understand what it means. What military and intelligence officials say even in a document like this, it's the implications of what they're saying. It isn't about an invasion. It appears to be about an invasion of Taiwan, but it's a mobilization of China for war against America and its allies. And this is underscored. And is Taiwan the real target? They're mobilizing a lot more than for an invasion of Taiwan. We can tell that by the numbers of ships they're talking about just for one province. So this is a larger war, and they have a larger sea lift capacity than for just that invasion. So that would be my concluding statement.
Okay, thank you. Leon, you've been very patient, and we're out of time, sir. Thank you. Jeff, I'll be back tomorrow for your exclusive hour, and that's it for the day. All right, thanks, guys. That's it for the day. Get your medical supplies, your energy, clean your essential oils now while you can. Your firearms, ammunition, never ever give up your guns. Please have a fun, safe, productive day, and God bless America.
Sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at TLBTalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit RepublicBroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.